Poppin', everybody. Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Also known as the other host of Popcorn Culture. Ben, I don't want to skip the corny joke this time, so if you could go ahead, you know, I guess make sure we don't.
Is what you're trying to say, do it.
You
like now.
Yeah, do it.
Okay. What do you call bears with no ears?
Ears? No. Bees.
Yes!
Yes!
Hey! Just the letter B.
Just the letter B.
Just the letter B. Goodness, you got that right away. Now I want to ask you another one.
It was a spelling joke.
Where does the general keep his armies?
I don't know. Where does the general keep his armies?
In his sleeveys.
In his sleeveys?
Armies, like arm sleeveys.
Wow, that's the worst one you've ever done.
Oh, no, I think it's so good. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Sleeveys isn't a word.
You need to be sure to stick around until after the final pop, because we have a little extra bonus content that happened before we started today's episode that I think you're going to want to stick around for. It's some good quality.
This is why we need like a Patreon or something, so we could have exclusive quality content, like what people are going to hear at the end of the episode.
But
right now, it's just going to go to the end. And what is great is that Ethan, the guy who edits the podcasts, had to listen to the whole thing several times. And once you've heard it, you'll know. But at this point, you don't know, and you're just waiting for the end. Don't skip ahead. It'll be better if you're patient. But just know that Ethan had to listen to it probably 3 or 4 times.
There you go. So be sure to stick around until the final pop. In the meantime, Brother Jay.
Yo.
Seems like maybe you've had a little bit of life development happening.
I've had some big news happen to me in the past one day.
I think you're... big news, I mean...
Big news.
I mean...
I would say potentially the most life-changing thing that's ever happened to me...
#clickbait.
Happened to me yesterday. #not clickbait, because #very true.
Let's lay it on us.
Okay.
Lay it on us. Tell me what happened yesterday.
So... Yesterday, I became a father of 3.
What?
Yeah.
Brand new information. Holy cow.
You already knew.
I did know. I was going to say I was there, but I wasn't there, but I was adjacent in geographical proximity.
Yes. So yesterday on February 23rd, my twin boys were born. Little Nick and Nate.
Nick and Nate. Good. Okay, so tell me about this, because you had not told anyone in the family the names. I know that there were 2 sets of names, is that correct?
There were 2 sets of names.
But you landed on Nick and Nate.
Yeah.
I know, and this is the only bit of information, and it's so funny that this is what they ended up being, because when people would ask me, I would say the only thing I know is that it won't be like alliterative.
Oh,
like,
that was wrong.
They won't start with the same thing, because to the best of my understanding, our aunt Tina, who also has twins who are our cousins, Matt and Ryan, if I understood correctly, the one piece of advice she gave was do not have their names start with the same letter.
That was her advice, and we did not take it.
At the point that she gave you that advice, had you already decided what the names were going to be?
No, we had not.
You had not, okay.
I'd say we were at like 99% on those names about 3 days ago, but I would say even down to the day of, like, the fact that, like, okay, it's go time was, I think, kind of a catalyst for we are settling. Not settling, but, like, we are arriving at these names as the ones we want.
There's the moment when that decision is made. I've always felt like with naming children that is, like, such a strange moment of commitment where I also bet you never look back.
Well, I've heard stories of people who have looked back, who have, like, determined, oh, I'm absolutely going to call my son Jack or something, and then they are like handed the baby and they're like, it's not Jack, and you know, like, they just know in the moment or something.
Fascinating.
But I will say, so it was very different naming the twins versus naming Luke. So naming Luke, we knew well in advance what his name was going to be. His middle name, his first name. We had thought about it for a long time, and there was a lot of boy name. Like, I found that choosing names for boys was much harder than choosing names for girls.
Interesting.
Not that I will ever get to use any of the names I chose for girls, but so we started telling people Luke's name well in advance. So, like, when they had a baby shower for Beth, you know, they had, you know, Luke's name on the wall.
Right.
and people could customize stuff in that way. And had we firmly chosen what the twins' names were going to be, I think we would have been happy to tell people. But
so that wasn't strategy. Like, that wasn't like a, you know what, we don't want the input, we're not going to tell people. This was more like you guys were genuinely undecided.
We were genuinely undecided, but I wouldn't say it wasn't strategy. I would say our strategy was that because we weren't decided, we weren't telling people.
Oh, sure.
Like, because here is just my general advice when discussing or telling people the names is, if you are not 100% certain, don't tell people even what you're thinking about.
Sure.
Because if you do, if it's up for swaying, people are going to try. If anyone you tell has any negative connotation with one of the names you like really like but haven't fully committed to, they're going to let you know.
Oh, yeah.
And because, one, people love to... what I like to call, like, autobiograbarf on you.
Autobiograbarf?
Yeah, this is where you just barf your own autobiography at people.
Okay.
That's what people love to do, and if you have a name, if they have a negative story about a name, they want to tell you about it and why you shouldn't name your kid that. And the real second, probably even greater reason they don't want you to name your kid that is because they want you to have helped name your kid. And this is a powerful force.
It is. There's no two ways about it. Like, because I know that I've had this impulse before too, where like the idea, and this is, I think this is stretches beyond simply naming kids, but also like being the one to introduce your friend to their significant other is like a kind of you owe me for the rest of all time in a like totally not collectible sort of thing. But like it will always go down that the one of the more significant decisions that you make with your life was directly correlated to them knowing you specifically.
Exactly. So they're always like that. That's what people want. And I think we've even talked about this on the pop before. But so we had not firmly decided on it's Nicholas and Nathan.
Nicholas
those
and Nathan.
Those are the full names.
Yes.
They will go by Nick and Nate, or that's what we're going to call them. So we have Nick, Nate, Luke.
Nick, Nate, Luke.
Yeah. All one syllable names.
Easy.
Nice and good. And so we just didn't tell people until we had them chosen. And at that point, we were like, well, we may as well wait until we're just... Since we decided, like, basically day of, we may as well wait until we've got pictures and we'll just announce it all at once.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So we were sending out the names and stuff yesterday. And the thing is, once you're decided and you tell someone what the name is, people will just go with it.
Absolutely.
You never... Like, even if you have a negative connotation with the name, like, Peter, for example. You know, and, like, you would never name your kid Peter. If you meet someone named Peter, if you're like, oh, yeah, my cousin Peter, they're not going to be like, ugh, what?
Oh,
that name?
No!
Yeah, like, you're never going to question someone's name, but you are always going to question someone's almost name.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. That's always the thing, too. Things that are subject to change, like, invite so much more outside opinion than things that are absolute.
Yes.
Yeah. I won't say what it is, because I'm sure that would involve prying, but there is one name that if I had known, I'd be like, please don't use that name. Please just choose.
I think I know the name you're thinking, and yeah, wouldn't have. Wouldn't
okay.
Have.
Okay. Thank you. Hashtag respect.
Hashtag respect. Anyway, so let me go on and just tell the story of what happened.
Spin us the narrative.
Yeah. So if you've been following along anywhere on my social media life or whatever, you're probably aware that we were expecting twins, my wife Beth and I, and we announced it a while ago. But the due date was April 14th. That was the day they told us was the due date.
And they arrived on
February
23rd.
Right. So
how early is that?
That is 33 weeks and 2 days, I think. No, it's 32 weeks and 3 days. I'm sorry.
Goodness gracious.
There you go. Yeah, so I've been having to relay a lot of numbers around in my brain lately. So they came pretty early. Now, this wasn't our first experience with premature birth. Our son Luke was a preemie as well. He came 6 weeks early. So the twins came this is a fun fact, is that the day Beth's water broke for Luke gestationally was the same day as the twins.
What?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes. So
that's a fun fact that just been dropped on me.
There you go. So when it happened with Luke, we went to the hospital and we were there for another 9 days until he was actually born.
Right. Okay. I do remember that. Yep.
So this time, it's the same morning and Beth wakes me up at 1:30 a.m. and I'm like, I was dead asleep. And she tells me her water's broke and I'm like, oh, yikes. Okay. All right. We gotta, let's go. We're in the game. We have to go to the hospital, which is what you should do. So we load up the car. We call Beth's parents to come over and watch Luke because he's still sleeping and stuff. We get to the hospital. We check into triage and all that. And Beth starts feeling some contractions, like maybe she might be going into like labor, which was very different from last time where...
Okay, wait. I do have a quick question.
Okay.
Okay, so her water broke. When you have twins, do both waters break at the same time?
Ooh, good question. Good question. No.
No?
They can, but I think more often one does, and then later the other one will.
Would there be any actual bizarre... I know you're not like a doctor, but...
Yeah.
Would there have been any bizarre circumstance? Like, I know you've talked about, like, not telling them which one of them is older, so that you don't have that forever, like, I'm older by 2 minutes thing.
Yeah.
Would there have been any situation where, like, one of them would have come, and then the other one would have, like, the water didn't break, or would the process of giving birth just like make that happen?
I am not sure. I feel comfortable saying in the history of the world there has probably been, I think I've even heard stories where one is born and then it could be like even days later or something the second one was born.
See, because that would be, I feel like you would have to like differentiate at that point in time.
Oh, for
sure.
If it was
days different, then it's like, how weird would it be to have twins with different birthdays?
That would be crazy. And I think the only other way that normally happens is if they're born around midnight.
Right. Where it would just be, it just so happens to be the case that one comes out and then the day takes over. The other crazy thing, I'm sorry, I will let you back to your story, is that we were so close to leap day twins.
Oh, yeah.
Which... I looked up the statistics on that, and then we actually calculated it before you got into the office this morning. 1 in 50,000.
That would have been crazy, because it is a leap year, and they were, I guess, 6 days away from it.
So close.
That would have been.
And how many days? Oh, you said 9 days is how long Luke was.
Yeah.
Okay, between water breaking and birth.
Right.
Okay, so we were in the zip code. Like, it could have happened.
It could have happened. And so that was.
Leap babies.
That was the weird thing, is that when it happened with Luke, we went to the hospital and it was another 9 days. So even when Beth is telling me that her water broke, I'm like, okay, well, we've probably still got at least a few more days, which I don't know why that was like my assumption of how it was going to go down, because normally if your water breaks, that pretty much means it's happening.
Right, it's go time.
Yeah, it's go time. Or, well, they do a bad job of this in TV shows where that's always the case. But I think a lot of times you can go into labor without that even happening. It just happens in the middle of labor.
Sure.
But anyway, we get to the hospital, Beth's having contractions, and then they just sort of stop. And we're like, okay. Maybe that was just caused by the initial change and stuff, but we've slowed down and they check us into a room and stuff, and we actually managed to go back asleep for a couple of hours, because in our minds this is still happening days away.
Right.
But then we wake up and it becomes pretty evident that it's not happening days away, that she's just like in labor. So at that point we decide that the C-section is the route we're gonna go down. And once you decide, it's like, all right, there's really no reason to wait. So all of a sudden, it was just go time. And I remember they're like in there prepping the OR, and they make Dad wait outside.
Okay.
So until you come in after they're all set up and stuff.
Okay.
After everything, they're like, just don't touch anything. You can sit here in this chair. When the babies are here, you can take pictures. And like, I will say, the doctors are extremely respectful. Like, you know, you obviously don't want to be in their way because they're doing their job.
Of course.
At the same time, they also understand, like, at the end of the day, you're still the parent, and, like, they're really in your way, kind of, you know?
Sure. I get that. That makes sense. But I'm sure it's a balance. When they tell you not to touch anything, do you immediately feel like, I'm going to accidentally touch something for sure? Like, like, don't turn around too quickly because I'm probably going to bump into that tray that has all the perfectly laid out scalpels.
Yeah, they say that. They say, like, don't touch anything. But then when you get in there...
There's monkey bars.
and like a slide.
It's like there's a whole playground. You're like, oh man,
no. But I want to play with something.
No, they tell you not to, as if you're gonna be like sitting right next to all the knives and stuff. But you know, I couldn't have even seen something I could touch. All on the other side of the room. You're not even getting near it.
Nice. So yeah. The chair is in the safe place.
The chair is in a safe place. And everything went extremely well. Everything went just, you know, as well as you could have hoped for. And they got the babies out, and that was crazy. It was like, oh my gosh, because I remember standing outside thinking how when I had gone to bed the night before, I was absolutely not expecting this to happen. You know, there was no scenario where they were born tomorrow.
Right.
You know, everything had been going really great. Everything had been going perfectly otherwise in the pregnancy. And I thought we had another couple weeks before I was really in the, okay, it could happen at any moment kind of zone. Because twins typically do come early anyway. And since we'd already had one premature birth, I guess that increases your likelihood too. So I had no delusion that we were going to make it full term anyway. But I think I was still 2 weeks off of thinking, okay, we should be ready at every moment sort of zone. But I'm standing in the hall thinking, wow, not only did the amount of time where my expectation got slammed into like the, it's presently happening. You know, it went from being like, oh, we've probably got a couple weeks to, oh, we're in the hospital. We've still got probably a couple days. And then it was just like, I'm barely minutes away from this happening.
Right.
And
right.
It was so crazy and so fast. And then, you know, so now they're in the NICU. I don't know how long they'll be up there. That's totally just a waiting game. But it was just a really crazy day. Just really, I was extremely emotional too. I think I cried like 7 times yesterday.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. I bet. I mean, goodness. I feel like I can't even begin to imagine. Like, I know the emotion. I was literally standing on a ladder, like leaned against my house, pulling ivy away from the brick.
Yeah.
When I got these messages, like, that everything was going on.
Yeah.
And I'm like standing up there, like, just tearing up, like, on the edge of the ladder, you know? Right. It's like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. It was just unbelievable. But it's kind of strange to watch you guys, like, because it's so funny how you guys have done it once before, like, yeah, with Luke, and you've kind of gone through everything. And usually doing something one time is not enough to become like a veteran at something.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think from our perspective looking in, you guys seem so much more like just generally in control of the whole situation. Like, you're here at the office today.
I know.
And all of this happened yesterday.
I know. Well, I can't even promise you I'll be here tomorrow. But
no, I get that. That's fine. That's fine.
But Monday is typically the day we record a lot of the stuff for the whole week.
Yes.
So it seemed like a good day to come in so that we could get a whole week, like a week's worth of content out, and then I could go focus on stuff. It is weird that, I think you're right, you know, normally if you've done something once, you wouldn't consider yourself like very veteran at it. But the thing about having a premature baby and going in the NICU and stuff, it's like, we only did that once with Luke, but then you're there for 17 days. So, and you know, you might leave and come back several times in a day. So it really felt like we did it a lot.
Sure. Yes, yeah. Yes. No, I get you. Okay. So they're born on February 23rd, which makes them Pisces,
twin fish.
Twin fish.
I think it's two fish, right? It's also, is it like a yin-yang sort of look?
Is it really? Is that the, so it's not Gemini, which is like the, would the Gemini be like, that's like the twins one?
I guess that is, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. So interesting water symbol.
It's two fish.
Yeah. Okay. So what are characteristics of Pisces?
Oh, I have no idea.
Hang on.
I can't tell you what characteristics are of an Aquarius, though. And that's what I am.
Oh, okay. Got you. Should we read about ourselves?
Oh, gosh.
And give it a quick gander?
Let's read what Aquarius is, and I'll tell you how accurate. Or maybe you read what Aquarius is and tell me how accurate you think it is to me.
Okay, hang on. Aquarius, we're searching.
I feel like this changes website to website, even though.
Okay, I'm going to go, what type of person is an Aquarius?
Oh, okay.
Every aquarium. It says every Aquarian.
Ah.
So you guys have like a, I don't know. I don't think I'm a scorpion.
Yeah. Every scorpion.
Although I would be okay with it.
Yeah. Every scorpi.
Scorpi. Every Aquarian is a rebel at heart. These air signs despise authority and anything that represents conventionality, free spirit, and eccentric. They can often be identified by their offbeat fashion sensibilities, unusual hobbies, and nonconformist attitude. This is not you.
That doesn't doesn't sound like me at all.
Not even slightly, like a little bit. No, which is so weird because I feel like these things so frequently are so like broad strokes.
Yeah, that you can like just color yourself in to any of them.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. The personality of a Scorpio.
Yeah.
Or Scorpions.
Yeah.
That's me.
That's you.
Because of its incredible passion and power, Scorpio is often mistaken for a fire sign. In fact, Scorpio is a water sign that derives its strength from the psychic emotional realm. Like its fellow water signs, Cancer and Pisces, Scorpio is extremely clairvoyant and intuitive.
Is Aquarius not a water sign? Because it feels like it should be.
It does kind of sound like the word aquarium.
Yeah.
I
believe it's the water bearer is the symbol or the constellation that it's named after.
Well, I don't know enough about anything to do with these. This is one of those strange things, horoscopes, where it's like, I don't know why. It's like, I will like scoff at them, but then as I start reading about them, it's like, I still will find it interesting.
Sure.
Because the observations that I think people who have gotten really good at writing these horoscopes are very relatable.
Right.
Like, I feel like whoever writes horoscopes could be like a blogger or I guess probably they are in some capacity, or like a YouTube personality, because somehow, some way, they have identified things that you're definitely feeling.
The thing about your zodiac sign or horoscopes are that the reason they're not nearly as much fun to me is because they're based on the day you were born, and it's somehow suggesting that everyone born between two sets of dates are all the exact same.
No, of course, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's completely ridiculous. But here's the thing. If they just removed the assigned at birthness from it, I feel like it'd be a super fun thing. Then you could figure out which one you were based on your actual personality.
Sure. So, but at that point in time, I think it's basically an Enneagram.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I mean,
then it's just another personality test.
It's a personality test.
But it's a really fun one with cool names and, you know, whatever. But
oh my gosh, I had a thought that I was just about to ask you, and then it leaked right out of my brain. Mm-hmm. Done lost it. Done lost it.
Okay.
Okay, where were we?
I don't know, we were talking about horoscopes or Enneagrams.
Goodness, I found it.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so the interesting thing to me about, like we talk about, like, you know, specifically the characteristics associated, like, with when you were born.
Right.
Like, on the specific date. The reason that I have, like, been able to come up with the smallest, tiniest little version of how that could maybe in some capacities affect people is what is the time of year that you would be experiencing when your first memories are being formed. So, like, for example, if you're born, like for me, I was born like in October. So I feel like it is conceivable that by the time that I'm like really starting to take the world in,
mm-hmm.
it was summer. So like a lot of like my very like, you know, early interactions with the outside world at all,
mm-hmm.
would be like, I would be taking my first steps in summertime,
sure.
like in warm weather.
Yeah.
I've wondered before what that could be like versus like you on the flip side being born in February, those same experiences would have been happening in winter. And I have absolutely no idea if and when and how every single person, I'm sure, is absolutely incredibly different in terms of like when their first memory is. Do you have a first memory?
Gosh, not, no.
You don't have
don't
a first
think I
memory.
I can tell you what my first memory is, no.
Oh my gosh. The only thing I can think of for my first memory is mom being pregnant with our little brother Tyler. Do you remember our bedroom as kids? I had like a high bed,
yeah.
and your bed was like kind of like low to the ground.
This is so, when I imagine it now, it was unusually low to the ground.
It almost seemed like what you had was like a box spring that had like a wooden frame around it.
Yeah.
Not even a box spring. Maybe just the mattress with like a wooden frame around it.
That's what I'm almost remembering. Maybe there was a box spring. But it feels like barely off the ground.
Barely off the ground.
Yeah.
So the only thing I remember is that's where mom used to read us like Berenstain Bears books. Do you remember those?
Oh, Of course.
Is it Berenstain?
This is the most Mandela effect.
I know, but this is like heads or tails to me, where I can never remember. Now I know that it is. I know that whatever I think it is wrong.
It's Berenstain Bears is how you say it. Berenstain. And everyone remembers it being spelled S-T-E-I-N because you say it Berenstain, but it's actually spelled Berenstain.
Berenstain.
With an A instead of an E.
Okay.
Which, if you didn't know that,
ooh,
good luck looking it up. You're about to go down a really weird rabbit hole.
Happy mind being blown. Yeah. So I think that my first memory is mom being pregnant with Tyler, reading us one of those books, and me asking, like, when the baby's coming.
Okay.
But that is like basically the only memory I have before my first day of the 3-year-old program of preschool.
I think I remember my first day of that as well. Like, I think I just haven't really tried to figure out what my earliest memory is before. Like, maybe it's just not that important to me. But I also, yeah, I remember when mom was pregnant with Tyler. I remember all that. Well, I'm not going to figure this out live, I don't think.
How crazy would it be?
Ooh, if I could figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like someone would have to probe me, like, do you remember this? And then even it gets tricky still because our dad did a lot of video documentation of stuff.
Yeah.
So
the year in Carlin.
Yeah, the year in Carlin. So I think a lot of times if I, like, remember, I remember watching myself from the camera at, like, an early age. But obviously that's not my memory. But, like,
right.
I remember seeing myself at, like, younger than I can remember. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean.
And I don't know where those lines get real blurry.
They do. So. No, it's crazy. And I think that, like, your personal vlog that you do is going to be so cool for Luke because his childhood is going to be so well.
Oh, that's going to be so weird because I would imagine Luke probably, like, and I don't know. I imagine he probably won't remember much before the twins got here. You know, like, I don't imagine at some point he'll remember the old house we lived in.
Right.
But we will have video of it.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So he'll get to go back and relive
that.
So he'll
go back and see it.
There you go.
That'd be great.
There you go. More people should do that for their children.
Yeah, just carry your camera around with you everywhere you go. Video it all week, every week.
Spin a narrative.
Yeah, spin a narrative. You don't necessarily need plot points or anything. I wish I had more plot points. I never know where I'm going with the vlogs. I'm just like, let's see what this footage is this week.
Really?
Yeah. So I mean, sometimes, well, here's what happens a lot of times, and what eventually I found was a problem when I was making the vlog, was at first, I was just so excited that I was doing it that I would film everything that was going on.
Sure.
And at some point, you start to think, like, you'll get, like, a little more, like, okay, after you've done a few edits, you'll think, okay, this was interesting, that wasn't that interesting, I don't need to film every little thing. And so you start only filming certain things.
Right.
And then eventually you'll get to the point where you're anticipating what the interesting thing of the week will be. So you just mostly count on filming that thing. So I found what was happening to me a lot was I would know, okay, this weekend we're going to Ben's for a party, or we're going to go to this event, or we're meeting people here, and that'll probably be what most of the vlog is about. The problem is, then, if you get there and it turns out not to be a very, like, camera-friendly vlog situation.
Too loud, yeah.
Or it's, like, it's really cumbersome to carry around, or mostly people are just watching TV or something like that. Or you just don't film, or you just forget. And then you're like, oh no, now I haven't filmed anything because I was anticipating this. And also, I didn't film that. So, yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Good week for the vlog. It's going to be a short one.
Yeah, right. No, I get you. Yeah. So I think that, that is, so I have been wanting to start a vlog forever. I think dating back as long as I've been, like, a professional YouTuber. And especially, I think, watching yours sort of unfold and being like, man, this would be so cool to have all of these little memories, tucked in there. And I have the massive, massive issue with brain crack.
Right.
Like, where I will obsess over, and this is the real problem, and Allie and I, like, Sunday after Sunday, which is our one day that we, like, spend fully together, we're always like, well, we should do it today, but we need to go do something, like, really cool so that the episode will be super interesting. And then we spend most of the day doing nothing in the process of trying to go do something interesting enough to be worthy of having recorded and showing to anybody at all.
Right.
And it is, like, it absolutely, I think it destroys me. Like, I don't think that there's ever been something that I've wanted to do so badly that, like, I just can't bring myself herself to the idea of being disappointed after having been so excited about it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like murderous to me to think about what it would be like to finally go do one, sit down to work on it and be like, crap. It's all crap. Can't do it. Can't bail. Delete all the footage.
I don't think it'll be like that. I think if you go out and film it and you have any sort of vision for it at all, you'll have a lot of fun with it.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club. Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me, it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paper clip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see, but you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I know the feeling, though. The very first week of the vlog ever, we did something called the Beer Mile, which was a relay race where every member of your team has to chug a beer before running a 400, and then you tag the next person and they do that and rinse repeat until it's over. And that was happening at an event that happens in town called GoFest. And I saw GoFest as this amazing launching point for the vlog because it's easily the best event that happens in our city every year.
Yes,
and
yes.
And there's so many interesting things to get footage of. And we had also just gotten a drone, and the beer mile seemed like a fun novelty thing. So I think I was wearing a GoPro. We had someone running the drone. We had someone with a camera on the sideline. So I had like all these camera angles set up for the first one. I had just gotten my brand new camera and tripod and all that stuff. So I was filming every single bit of GoFest and all the cool things. I was taking slow-mo video of these dogs and BMX racers, and I came up with all, it was amazing. I thought it came out really good. And sometimes I go back and watch it and I'll be like, man, I put in way more effort into this very first episode than I did for like almost any other.
Absolutely, you know. Fascinating. So because that's exactly what I think. Like literally I'm like, well, is it even a vlog if you didn't use a drone and a GoPro and a gimbal and like maybe go underwater at some point in time and challenge your own existence as a human to, you know, do something like a triple backflip off of a rope swing into 30 degree water or something?
Yeah. What was even the point of waking up and turning on a camera if you didn't do a triple backflip?
Precisely my point.
Yeah.
It's so funny how you get me exactly.
I think what it came down to at the end of the day is because a lot of that was just like launch enthusiasm for me. But at the end of the day, you have to like ask, like, what are you doing it for? Like, why are you doing it? Like, and that eventually I think helped, because for me, I love sharing the vlog with everybody, but the main reason I'm doing it is just to like document like the my family life.
Right,
yes. So that it'll be fun to go back and rewatch it later, years from now, and so that stuff doesn't like fizzle into, you know, the memory dump in my mind, so to speak.
Where the jelly beans go and suck it up with a little vacuum from Inside Out.
So I watched Inside Out this morning with Luke. He had a fever. Just, gosh, that was great. We had the twins yesterday, and I woke up and Luke had a fever today, and I was like, oh boy, all right. We are in full parenting mode.
Hashtag parenthood.
Hashtag parenthood. Man, so we had to skip preschool and whatever. It's all good. He's feeling much better already. Don't worry.
That's good. Way to go, Luke's there.
Yeah. Doing great. But what are we talking about? So I think, you have to figure out what you want. What is the purpose of even doing the vlog? And if it's just to go on cool adventures, then you just got to plan cool adventures and go on them. And whatever you film will be whatever you filmed. But if the point is to go out and like show off all your cool shots, then you just have to go and get cool shots.
And I get that. Like, so I so understand it. And I almost even feel like in the scheme of things, so like everybody loves going back to early Super Carlin Brothers videos and watching the very, very unprepared Ben Carlin for the world that was to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I think like maybe the whole idea of starting when you're less qualified than you want to be is almost that in the scheme of things, you will get to go back and there will be a quaint and happy little campiness to your humble beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's just it.
Yeah. I mean, if you go out and just pick an easy adventure to go on, you know, like some sort of hike that you've done before, and you just bring the drone, you get, you know, document you leaving the house and being on the hike, and then get cool drone footage, and, you know, climb rocks on the way and get cool shots of that, and it'll be great.
You are just like Alice.
Yeah.
Just like Alice. Oh my goodness. This is the massive problem that I face with this is I have all these ambitious ideas for the world, and then I'll throw them out there, and it's like, why don't we start with something easy and simple? And I'm like, well, no, because I'm coming from like the maxed out like 10 version, and that means I have to come down to like a 3 version, and that is the most upsetting and sad thought.
That is not upsetting and sad, because it's interesting that you see that as upsetting and sad when in the meantime you're producing the 0 version,
which is nothing.
That's what you're that's what you're doing.
I know. It's so true.
What's upsetting.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem, but I can't. I'm like sweating right now because I'm like, I have so much internal frustration with myself over my inability to press go.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe when and if I ever produce my first episode, those who have listened to this episode of The Pop will be like, I know how much was going through Ben's head.
Well, I can tell you what's going to happen, Ben.
What's
that? Is that now that you've voiced this into the internet, people are never going to let it go.
Never?
First of all, now that you've set an expectation, so people now have, now people are waiting for the vlog.
Maybe that's good.
Maybe it is. Maybe that'll push you, maybe this is the push you need.
The push I need, yes. Yeah. Yes, I like it. I like it. So that's what I need, is people to pressure me.
Mm-hmm, yeah. You heard it here, people. Ben needs you to pressure him.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait. Okay, so speaking of you going on crazy adventures, or why did I forget? What was I going to segue this into? Speaking of you needing to do crazy things, we had some follow-up on your near-death experiences.
Yes, we absolutely did.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So I think one of the more interesting responses that I've got, because I've had literally the same exact one myself, is that we had an email from Andrine. And the long and the short of her story is that growing up in New York City, she sort of had like the moment when you're waiting for the subway where you sort of like peek your head over.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the subway's a strange place because there's no guardrails.
Yeah.
There's like nothing to like. And of course, there can't be because you need to be able to walk onto the train.
Yeah.
But it also blows my mind that there is nothing preventing you from falling down into the electricity tracks.
Feels like there could be guardrails between where the doors aren't going to be.
It does feel that way.
Yes.
I do agree.
Maybe there's not the doors always show up at this spot.
Maybe there's not. Maybe they have like different subway models, and so it's like depending on which one, like maybe if you have like a TR1.
Or I was thinking more like as just a function of the brakes.
Oh, I see.
You know, like every time it comes to a stop at roughly the same spot, but maybe it's like 6 inches off or something.
So this is not a TR1 issue?
Well, maybe, yeah, they got new trains and they couldn't. It seems like in 2020, the subway should be able to stop at the exact same spot every time.
It does feel that way.
And there could be guardrails that will not block any doors.
Right. Yeah, it seems like that should be the case. Okay, anyway, Andrine, though, growing up, says that she has one of these moments where she leaned a little bit too far looking for the train,
mm-hmm.
almost fell into the train tracks, but their mother grabbed them by the clothes and, like, literally pulled them back. So what I'm imagining here is, like, someone who's, like, leaned forward and then, like, a little bit too far, their center of gravity has literally tipped to the point where they are, like, going in.
Yeah, going in.
And the other thing about falling in is it's kind of deep.
It
so
is.
It's, like, if you're in there, like, it's like you've fallen into, like, a raptor pit. Like a pit designed to trap raptors.
Right.
A trapter pit. Not to be confused with a tractor.
Yeah. You never want to fall into a tractor pit either, though.
No, tractor pits are the worst.
Yeah.
It's when you have competing farms that have tractor pits.
That's right.
So that one tractor doesn't come onto your land trying to harvest your corn.
Right.
And so you've actually dug a hole randomly for that tractor to then fall into.
Can you imagine crop poaching like that? Do you think that happens?
Goodness, I don't know.
Oh, man.
What a strange thought.
Is crop piratism a thing?
A farmer pirate.
Oh my gosh, farm pirates? If you're out in corn country, I have to imagine you've got a big old plot of land.
Yeah.
That goes on far beyond you can actually see.
Farm
beyond you can actually see. And that at some point your property line ends out, but your neighbor is also very likely a corn farmer.
Right.
And like, now I have to imagine there's a certain amount of like honor amongst farmers.
Well, some. I'm sure, but yeah. I mean, if you're a pirate, then it's like maybe you have.
But there's honor amongst pirates, right? It's like honor amongst thieves.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
But so, boy, I think if you're that farmer, if you're out there on the edge, and you're like, man, it's like 2 miles before neighbor farmer's house. No one can even see me. What if I just roll my crop collector one row over? That must be such insignificant gains, though. Like one row of corn.
Oh,
what's that, like another $2?
Okay, so that So that's what I was gonna ask. Okay, so like, what is? I mean. Stealing is bad. I'll start by saying that.
Yes.
But once upon a time, I was at a bachelor party, and this will come back to cornfields.
Okay.
And it was for one of my friends. We were down in Charleston, South Carolina, and we're driving this like 6-hour drive home on like a Sunday morning, and the groom who I drove down with was massively hungover.
Okay.
Had one too many soda pops.
Right.
Too many fizzy waters.
Oh gosh. I swear right now on Twitter, there's a thread right now where someone, because in the last episode, I was saying how every time I hear someone call soda pop, I think they're joking.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have realized the extent to which this is a problem. Someone on Twitter is like, no, I'm from Canada, and we genuinely say, if you want a soda, can you get me a pop? And I'm like, I feel like you're trolling me. I feel like you're lying to me.
Is this like the narwhal? This is like the narwhal.
It's exactly like, this is, I think the narwhal conundrum is that you are so unsure as to whether or not, even if someone's telling you the truth, that like this is it. This is the problem, is that I really want to believe that this person is genuinely telling me we call it pop, but I can't be sure they're not trolling me to make me look foolish.
Right. It's like
you, if you get me,
man,
you just want me to say pop one day and you're going to be like, oh my God, no one calls it pop.
We totally got you.
This is the narwhal conundrum, which if you're not familiar with really deep Super Carlin Brothers lore, I made a video once upon a time, which will haunt me to my grave, called Are Narwhals Real?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because the narwhal, mythical animal that it is a whale with a horn on its head.
On its face.
On its face.
And its horn is a tooth.
And its horn is a tooth, but it could not look more made up if it tried.
It couldn't, not even possibly.
Horn is even like spirally.
Yeah,
it has like magic powers where it can like sense things from far away.
Its skin has more vitamin C per comparative weight than an orange.
Yeah, so it's not even spelled, you'd think it'd be narwhal, but it's narwhal. So there was like it's like a jackalope, you know, where it's like, which is like the rabbit with antlers.
Yeah
not real.
Wait, maybe. For real? Not real?
I know, right? Exactly.
Oh, no.
We're like, are these real? Because, like, at the beginning of Elf, there's, like, he's, like, waving bye to, like, bye, Mr. Narwhal. But I think he's, like, also waving to, like, a talking snowman or something.
Right.
Like, and he's an elf. So you're like, this is a world where elves are real, so I can see why they put narwhals in here.
Because they're totally not real.
Right?
Hey, Mr. Narwhal.
Yeah. And this is the same thing. As so everyone who hears that tries to get into the narwhals are real, and it's just like, no, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I know they are, maybe. But
did you know that the Aboriginal people, I don't even know if that's the right way to describe them, people who live where
indigenous
people to the Arctic region?
Yeah.
Okay. So they are allowed to hunt a single narwhal, but they have to do it in like traditional methods. You can't like commercial fish a narwhal.
You have to have like a guy out there with you.
A guy? What do you mean a guy?
Like to make sure like a
oh goodness no, they just narwhal. Respect the rules. No. But it's fascinating the way that they do it
there's honor amongst narwhal hunters.
There is. It is fascinating the way that you hunt your single narwhal because it has so much vitamin C. When you're up there, it's hard to find a good source of vitamin C. This is the actual reason.
Yeah.
But you have to use like inflated, I almost said beaver skins, but it might be like seals.
Okay.
And what you literally do is you inflate it with air.
Okay.
And then you have like a spear. None of this sounds real, but it is.
Yeah. You're not convincing me.
You have like a harpoon.
More and more sure narwhals are made up.
In a kayak.
Yeah.
And you go out when you find the narwhal and you can spear it, and then you spear it with multiple like seal inflated buoys.
Okay.
And then they can't swim down.
This is like how they catch Jaws.
They
harpoon them with kegs that float.
Yes, but this is real.
Sure.
It's true.
I know. I believe you.
And the sun never don't wink at me. And the sun never sets, and so they all have to wait in turns during daylight all day in their sleeping bags waiting for the narwhals to show up so that they can go out there.
This is real, as if great white sharks aren't definitely real.
Great white sharks are definitely real, but not Jaws.
There are giant great white sharks, like 20 footers or
hang
whatever.
Hang on. What is the largest great white shark?
Oh, I guarantee you it's over 20 feet.
Hang on. I'm looking right now.
Yeah.
The largest great white... do you guys ever have the problem when you're typing in Google on your phone because it doesn't autocorrect? I wrote, what is the greatest hurry bill?
Yeah.
But it gets what I'm saying, so.
I will grant you there's probably not sharks with vendettas against fishermen.
Okay. Length, female, 15 to 21 feet.
Yeah.
Male, 11 to 13 feet.
Ah, females are bigger.
Interesting.
I always thought of Jaws as a male. Huh. I was wrong.
Ah, well, there you
Over go. 20 feet is the thing.
Over 20 feet, but barely.
But, okay, but that's average. That's the average length. I want to know what the, like, world record for a great white shark
world
is.
World record great white shark.
Yeah.
Let's see
here. What's the biggest one ever found? Which, by the way, how cool are great white sharks?
Great white sharks are so cool.
They're like the grizzly bears of the ocean. That's like, that's for our beach umbrella line at Grizzly Umbrellas, our great white umbrellas. We huge.
We huge.
We huge.
By the way, we'll put it in the show notes. Somebody sent us a logo for Grizzly Umbrellas.
Yeah.
And it is perfect. So thank you to Other Ethan, Mother Nature, and Emerald Cliffhanger Phoenix.
Yeah. Whilst you look up the biggest great white shark on record, I will also talk, follow up on some umbrella news where we had someone on Twitter, at Al Philippides, say that they are from Seattle and was offended by the insinuation that they use umbrellas. Those are for pansy tourists.
What?
So apparently we're doing it right here in Roanoke by non-brella-ing it. We are raincoating it, and that is the way to do it. They also said that they put their windshield wipers up, and they don't know why they do it.
Oh, outstanding.
That is amazing.
Okay, so that's like me. So that's like a bunch of people from Canada emailed me, and they were like, no, you need to do that. You will have like thick ice, and you will not be able to get your windshield wipers out. And I was like, I said that I do it. I do
yeah.
it. I think that I didn't totally understand why.
Well,
I
this
was
person
doing it.
Does it, and they don't know why. So anyway, how big is that shark?
Okay, so I am very surprised to find that it doesn't seem to be giving me a length. But the biggest great white shark, nicknamed Deep Blue, estimated to be 50 years old, weighs in at 2.5 tons. And I have a picture of it here from Ocean Ramsey on Instagram, and it is absolutely gigantor.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
You should screenshot that so we can put a picture of Big Blue in the show notes,
the old show
as
notes.
Well.
Okay, so let me circle back here because I never did finish my story of corn.
Oh, yeah.
The time that I was adjacent
pirate?
To corn pirates.
Okay.
Okay, so my friend had too many fizzy pops.
Yeah.
And so he's like, Ben, dear chap, could you please take the vehicle to the side of the road?
Sure.
So I did.
He's a really polite hungover person.
Very polite.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And so I take the Mazda 3 and I take it to the side of the road.
Yeah.
Which happens to be a cornfield. And my friend just walks off into the cornfield, like disappears from view entirely. And oh. I'm like, wow, you have gone way farther than I ever would have gone. And so he's gone for longer than you would expect too. Like I'm expecting him to be gone for maybe 90 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 15 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there
long enough to where you could never find him in this cornfield.
Never. And yeah. I was a little worried that he could never find me out of the cornfield. So finally I'm sitting there and I'm like, what is going on in this cornfield? And he comes out holding 3 ears of corn, and he has decided to tag some snacks along the way for the road trip home.
Yeah,
the rest of the journey. And I was like,
is he eating raw corn?
Raw corn.
Okay.
Raw corn. Yep 3 solid ears of corn. But, which, yeah, I don't know why that never seemed weird to me at the time, but it didn't. I was like, he definitely just stole 3 ears of corn.
Right.
But, like, we're looking at, like, easily a 100-acre field
uh-huh.
of corn.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's pretty minimal.
Yeah.
Like, what type of, like, casualty did we just incur?
Theft is theft, Ben.
Although, is this how true farm piratism truly starts?
This is how it starts.
It's a slip. Like, do you think eventually, like, we'll roll up with, like a combine?
Hey, 3 ears was no big deal. What's 3 baskets?
What's 3 baskets?
What's 3 baskets? They've got 1 billion ears of corn. They'll never know.
Yeah, this is not the correct line of thinking. But
that's so in some ways you are a corn pirate.
No, Jay. No.
Yeah.
I think you misunderstood.
Yeah.
See, I was driving the Mazda 3.
Yeah, someone's driving the boat when you're a pirate.
Yeah, you want to know who does?
Yeah.
You want to know who drives the boat?
Who drives the boat?
The captain.
The captain.
I'm the captain.
But Jack Sparrow's still a pirate.
Yeah, but still, I'm the captain, which makes it cooler because I'm a high-ranking member.
But Barbossa is also, yeah, that doesn't make you not a pirate.
No, it does. I'm just, okay, pirate captain.
You're
but
pirate
like,
captain.
But like, yeah. I'm like captain first, pirate second.
Captain first, pirate second.
It's what's important for people to know is that I'm a captain.
Yeah.
Of the Mazda 3.
They have heard of you.
But you have heard of me. Oh man. Oh, yeah, so that's my grand pirating.
So now, if I recall, back on the days of the vlog, there is an episode called Ben is a Popcorn Pirate. Little did I know you are also a corn pirate.
What is this? All manners of speaking.
Wow.
Any kinds of corn, I will pirate. But captain first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I drive the boat.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't know this about you, Ben. I didn't know you were such a vegetable pirate, but I guess you are. Is corn a vegetable? Is it a grain? I've heard.
I think it's a grain. I think it's a grain. If you crush it up, it seems grainy.
I feel like if I had corn on the cob with my dinner, I'd be like, yeah, I got some vegetables.
Hey, do you think cornbread, like, do you think of it as, like, vegetable bread?
Well,
because it kind of is vegetable bread. Like, if you had broccoli bread, how would you feel about broccoli bread compared to cornbread?
I guess, to me, you can have cornbread that doesn't have raw corn niblets in it.
Niblets?
Yeah.
I think there's a term for them.
For individual...
Kernels?
Yeah. Kernels of corn?
Niblets.
Niblets.
Niblets. I actually...
That's the word.
That's the word. I love cornbread. I hate it if it has niblets in it.
You don't want corn in your cornbread.
I do not want... Well, I want essence of corn. You know, like corn that has been like in a windmill, you know?
Like corn mill.
Corn meal. Corn meal.
Corn meal comes
meal
out of a corn
of
mill.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the kind of corn that I want in my cornbread.
This is, okay, perhaps approaching narwhal conundrum status.
Okay.
Is that, yeah, growing up, all the cornbread I had did not have corn in it. And it always seemed like, it seems like maybe it should have corn. But then one day I finally had cornbread that did have corn in it. And I was like, I don't know if this is right.
This does not seem
like
okay.
Someone thought the way I thought and was like, this should, and they did it, but they did it wrong.
Do you think they use canned corn?
If you're going, it feels like if you're already baking your own cornbread from scratch, why would you use canned corn?
I don't know.
You know, if you're making everything else, you may as well go ahead and get that ear of corn.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Although, do people make cornbread from scratch?
Do they
have their own windmills?
Okay, but like, so I don't think they make their own corn meal from scratch.
Okay.
But if you bought the corn meal and all the separate ingredients and mixed them together, I would say that making it from scratch.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. What if you buy a tube of Toll House cookie dough?
No, that's not making it from scratch.
No.
Not at all.
All right. I tried.
But he's like, you want credit for a scratch?
He's like,
chocolate. That's such a weird thing for you to want credit for, because you already make really good chocolate chip cookies. Am I to understand that part of your chocolate chip cookie recipe is pre-made Toll House chocolate chip batter?
Heck no, it is not.
Okay, exactly.
Absolutely it is not, no. But I think it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like you could bake Toll House cookie dough and be like, yeah, we had homemade cookies.
Oh.
Like, I feel like people would say that, and it's like, it's a bit of a leap.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, and I think people are really skating by with that.
Goodness.
If you, wow. That's like...
It's worse than being a corn pirate.
You made them at home. Yeah, it might be. It might be. What kind of... The audacity to say you have homemade cookies if you made it from a pre-bought roll of cookie dough. Oh, I don't know if that counts. I'm going to hear some flack from this opinion, I'm certain. But no, I think you have to assemble the batter yourself for it to be a homemade cookie.
I don't even know if it's called batter when it comes to baking cookies. I think it's just dough.
Okay, you have to make the dough yourself or it's not a homemade. Hard stance. You didn't make the dough, it's not a homemade cookie.
Hey, do you want to know what my secret ingredient is? I love having a secret ingredient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you tell me, will it be a secret?
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Okay.
I'm telling you the secret ingredient, not the secret formula / methods.
Okay.
Yes, which there are also, definitely, probably. You'll never know. It's black salt.
Yeah.
Black salt.
Is it the Hawaiian salt? Is that what it's called?
Hawaiian black salt. It is like saltier salt somehow.
Do you get it on Amazon?
You know what? I have had it for so long. It lasts a long time.
Salt?
Salt.
The thing that makes other things last a long time?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't say.
Yeah.
It's just rocks, Ben.
I've had
salt is the only rocks we eat.
The only rocks we eat. Yeah, no, black salt, though.
You're laughing. What other rocks do we eat?
Let me think.
Good luck.
Does salt count as a rock? It's more like a mineral.
Are minerals not rocks?
No, there's a difference. Minerals are... Well, no, it's definitely not that, because it's sodium chloride, which is a compound, right?
I don't know.
I think that minerals are made entirely...
I'm going to look up...
What is the difference between...
salt rocks?
Are minerals different from rocks is the real question.
Yeah. Is this one of those, like, all rocks are minerals, but not all minerals are rocks kind of things? I'm gonna go, is salt... rocks.
A mineral is a naturally occurring inorganic solid with definite chemical composition with crystalline structure formed by a geological process. A rock is an aggregate of one or more minerals, whereas a rock may also include organic remains and mineraloids, which is just kind of fun to say. So you just got a little bit smarter in case you're going to your geology class.
Great.
So rocks are not minerals. They're made of minerals.
This says rock salt is a chemical sedimentary rock that forms from the evaporation of ocean or saline lake waters. Yeah, that's how they make... Yeah, salt is rock. There you go. Salt. Only rocks you eat.
Probably.
Like, hopefully you're not out there eating gravel or something.
I don't think anybody eats gravel.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Actually, I had a dog once that ate gravel every single day, and it was the worst.
That sounds terrible.
It was. Anyway, guys, I think that's probably about all the time we have for today's episode of The Pop. Don't forget to stick around, because there's some quality content still yet to come after the final pop. But if you have any thoughts, questions, ideas for things you want us to cover here on The Pop itself, you can be sure to email us at popcornculturepod@gmail.com.
Yeah, but until next time, pop.
Hand fart noise inbound. Look at that. You can like see it. It looks like a fart.
Wow.
In audio.
Do you imagine farts to be kind of like long spikes?
Indeed.
I do not. I would have thought of them as sort of more like short, long clouds. Well, obviously I'm wrong, because every time we go, it makes a big spike.
I feel like, yeah, you need like a much longer noise.
Maybe I visualize long farts.
It's like... Now that looks
now
like
that's
a long fart. Ethan, you can put all this at the end of the episode if you want.
You can. This is what all of the Reddit is going to be about.
Yeah.
How do you visualize? What is the visual representation of a waveform as a fart in your mind?
Right, because they're sort of short and snappy, which means almost by definition they're going to look like a real brief like spike.
I guess
real narrow and long.
I guess I think of it as like a long sound, like that I'm making with my mouth. Like when you go, like you're doing that longer than you're making any particular sound when you say words.
I don't think I can do the tongue out the side of the mouth fart noise like
that. Wait, let me see. Why were you so bad at it?
I don't know. I think it's because the only way I learned how to do fart noises is with my hands. Which, hold on, example ready.
Man, maybe I am more talented than I thought when it comes to making fart noises.
Yeah, yeah, I am.
Yeah. Wow, you are. Maybe you're just really not.
Maybe I don't. I don't know. I think my tongue is too thin. You can go out of the side of your mouth and everything. Goodness gracious!
Well, maybe you should try going out of the side, because if I go out the middle.
Oh my gosh.
Can you do hands?
Oh, I can do hands.
Okay. No, you can't. I'm so glad we have it on the record that Ben apparently can't make fart noises.
Hold on, though. This is...
I mean, that's pretty good. You're better at making them using it. Mm-hmm. Well, yours are way better with your hands than mine are.
Excellent. I have something.
You've got hand farts. Boy.